first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? And why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been through enough to know that You've enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that You've enough for me. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. 'Cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that You've been enough for me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that You've been enough for me. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. morning and welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. And I want to say that it's good to see each and every one of you with us this morning. And also a privilege to have you that are viewing on Facebook, which has become the new norm in the day and time in which we live. But thank you for viewing. Thank you for coming. And we just appreciate you being here. And I want to say this morning, it's good to see Brother Charlie Wilson with us and his wife. And he's been out for some time now, but what a blessing it is to see you both with us this morning. And I've been praying for you, brother. And I've been missing sitting with you on the front row during service before preaching time, but you guys have been through enough to see what God can do, right? You know that He can touch, and I'm sure everyone in here this morning can give some kind of testimony as to the magnificent, great, almighty hand of God and how He can touch lives and change lives. I know we could certainly testify of that this morning, and so we're very, very thankful for that. I have quite a list to read to you this morning on prayers and things to remember and upcoming events. So if you just bear with me for a moment. And I do want to say that our bulletin is in the works to get printed out again and back in hand. But until that time, we're still on our church website, www.calvaryministries.org. And there's a tab where it says bulletin. And there you'll have a full list. And the bulletin is updated weekly. So, but as far as prayers this morning, let's do remember Miss Connie Teague. In fact, the Teagues just left. They had to go take care of something. But Miss Connie, she is going into surgery tomorrow, I believe around 1 o'clock, and she's having two things done at one time. And so let's remember Miss Connie in her surgery. There was a prayer request mentioned to us this morning for the McCrickards, Miss Emily and Brother Arnold. So let's remember them in prayer. And we got word Wednesday that Larry Bennett's brother Greg, for those who do not know, went home to be with the Lord. He passed away. And I do believe his services, a memorial service, will be held at a later date up in North Carolina. Is that right? See, I can never, ever, ever, ever get North Carolina and South Carolina. I can never get them right. So, South Carolina. But that'll be at a later date. But do remember that. And also remember Brother Harold Dolph. He's at home. He's having therapy, or he's having doctor's appointments during the week where he has therapy. He's trying to recover from that. But we mentioned Wednesday night that Brother Harold and his daughter, Allison, got in a car accident about a week ago. And actually, they were coming back from therapy, and a drunk driver swerved in their lane and hit them head on and deployed both airbags. The guy, he was drunk at the time as well, a drunk driver, but he had a history and a record. He was wanted, and he got out and ran, and actually a car came. Pulled up behind him, and a man jumped out and went and captured that man and drug him out of the woods, and the police were there and took him to jail. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for good Samaritans. But Brother Harold is fine. Allison is fine. I told Brother Harold, you see there, God's not through with you, brother. God is not done with you, nor Allison. But let's remember them in our prayers. As we pray, Leonard Palmer, Miss Dolores, and as they continue with his eye and other things in their life they're dealing with. And also, Monday, July the 12th, Miss BJ, she'll be going for a knee replacement. And so let's remember her in our prayers. Miss Mary Kelly's daughter is recovering from surgery. And I do want to mention a special prayer request. It's a friend of mine that, in fact, he was the first one I ever baptized. And he's 30 years old. His wife was 30. But this past week, she died in his arms. I think it was in the morning time, the ambulance maybe were coming on the way. She had a massive heart attack at 30 years old. And if that wasn't bad enough, she was also pregnant with her first child. And so her funeral services will be this coming up week, I believe Friday and Saturday. Just a terrible, terrible situation there. So let's remember that, if you would, in your prayers. And all right, as far as coming up events tonight, we will have our outside fellowship. And I believe it's going to be pizza tonight. Pizza is on the list for tonight. The ladies and those who have helped have done a tremendous job so far with cold cuts and veggies and all kinds of things. But this time we're just going to go up here to Little Caesars and get some hot readies. And but thank you to those who have donated money for these times. This has been a good thing for our church on the last Sunday night of every month. And so remember that this evening at 5 o'clock, casual wear. Also remember. And then Sunday, June 20, let's see. What's today's date, the 27th? Never mind. Today is the 27th. I was getting ready to reread what I just said. And but July 5th, ordination service at 5 p.m. Brother Brian Busby, Brother C.J. Martin. What did I say? I said July the 5th? Man. How? Yes. At 5. Thank you. See, that's a good wife. Those can't fit my head, brother. Thank you, Christy. But anyway, and so July the 11th at 5 p.m. will be our ordination. But next Sunday night, we made the decision to dismiss service for the night. That will be July the 4th. And I tried to go back and see the last time July 4th was on a Sunday. And it's been some time ago. And I've had several church members come to me and say, Brother Justin, we're just not going to be here. We've got things prearranged, a family event we're doing together, cookouts and things like that. Several people. And, you know, it costs money to operate this facility. And so we were trying to weigh out the options on that. But we will be having service, of course, next Sunday morning, but then no service next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Go and be with your family and friends and celebrate the independence of our country, but also celebrate the independence that's found in Jesus. And more importantly, so remember all of those things. I do want to say this, that our young people are going out of town this coming up Wednesday. And through Friday, is that right, Brother Brian? Okay. And is it North Carolina or South Carolina? North Carolina. North Carolina. And you told me that this morning we were talking. So North Carolina. And they got a great spot up there from what I hear. And our kids are so excited to go to that. Just wanted the church to know that there are some things that our young people are doing. And also on July the 18th through the 23rd, we will be going the church. Our young people will be attending Camp Ivy. And this is a ministry from the Welcome Hill Baptist Church here in Hiram. And it was actually named after the late Johnny Ivy. Many people know him. He lost his battle with cancer. God called him home. But if we have any church kids, you can get with Brother Brian or Miss Darlene and some of our house parents on this.
Those who are involved with going, if there's any that are interested in going to this, some of our people, and we extend the invitation
to you. All right, well, you ready to worship this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll continue with our music for just a little bit, and then we'll bring the message and just asking the Lord to do a mighty work this morning. We didn't come together to meet in vain. We didn't come together to be seen and show off any kind of fashion, but we have come to worship and honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, we praise you this morning for the things that you have done, the things, Lord, that you're doing now that we don't even know, Lord, we're not even aware of, and the things that you're going to do, Lord, in and through our lives. Father, we lift up all of these requests, Miss Connie that's getting ready to have surgery tomorrow. Be with her. Guide the hands of the doctors. And Lord, I pray that it be a success. Lord, the McCrickards and this dear friend of mine who's getting ready to bury his wife and unborn child. Father, all of those who've experienced loss and things in their life, God, that just didn't happen that they wished would have happened. Father, help them just cling to the truth that you're in control through the good, bad, and ugly. And Lord, this morning we pray for the service that you'll continually have your hand upon it. Bless those that are watching on Facebook. Let someone be saved here or there on Facebook. And let a Christian brother or sister come back to the cross. Let us all be encouraged. It's my prayer. We love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. If you'll take a hymnal, turn over to page 390. Choir, stand with me. Church, stand. Let's turn to page 390 and sing "There's Power in the Blood." Sing now.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you
Second verse now.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is service for Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious.
Great singing, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Let's go to the Lord now in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service as well as the offering. Brother David Henderson, would you lead us as we pray?
Sails are torn.
And the anchor holds this morning. Real Bible salvation will give you something that will hold on to you. And I'm glad for that. Because sometimes my grip gets kind of weak. And kind of like Moses when he was holding up his hands and they got heavy. And then a couple brethren, I believe it was Aaron and Hur, came by and held up his hands. And while those hands were up, and Israel prevailed, but when they came down, the enemy prevailed. And I'm glad the Lord has a way of holding us up and making us able to stand. This morning we're going to be in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 18. We're not going to actually read that verse for a little while. I do have a different approach to the message this morning. But if you'll just hang in there with us, we're certainly going somewhere with the message this morning. We have direction. That's the main thing. And this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to speak on this subject, and that is dealing with change. Dealing with change. And change this morning. Change. It is a part of life. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen. Sometimes it's good and other times it's not so desirable. Talking about change. We will do either one of two things when change crosses our path. And that we're confronted with change. Number one, we will either resist it or we will adjust to it. When change, when we're confronted with this topic of change, we will either resist it or we will adjust to it. Most people don't like change. We get accustomed to people and routines, don't we, in life. We get accustomed to doing things. You wake up in the morning and, you know, you have your approach to your morning. But let change enter the equation. But you have your approach in the morning and you have your routine and I have mine, and you know, we have a routine here at church, and there's routines on people's jobs, and we're comfortable with our routines. There is comfort, there are comfort zones within routines, but let something happen at work. Let us be confronted with some kind of change at home. Then life altogether is now different, isn't it? And we'll either do, again, one or two things. We will either resist change or we will adjust to change. Again, some change is good. Other change is not so desirable. Lately, I mentioned one of the prayer requests in our prayer time. But lately, I've been hearing about people who have been placed in positions of change where they have no other options in their life. They must step out in newness. Areas where they've never been before. Paths that they've never trotted on. Just waters they have never sailed upon. Just people having, here lately it seems like, time and time again, day after day, getting phone calls and talking and running into people. Just change happening. All kinds of change. People are being placed in positions where there's no options and they must adjust to change. I do want to say this morning. Please know that we're not saying to adjust to sin. We're not saying to adjust to a godless world system. We're not saying that because we ought to resist change at that point. But what we're saying is when we're confronted with something we're not used to, What do we do about it? How do we approach it? This friend of mine who's getting ready to go to the cemetery next week, again, I had the position, I had the blessing of actually leading him to the Lord and baptizing him. Alan Morgan, good friend of mine. When we first moved in at our old house on Echo Ridge in Powder Springs, I remember when we were moving boxes in, there was this little redheaded boy that met me in the driveway, next door neighbor. And he just started questioning me about everything. He said, "You moving in here?" A teenager. I said, "Yeah, we're moving in here." And he went on and he said, "Well, you know, this ain't a good neighborhood to live in." Just question, just, you know, comment after comment, question after question. And so we got moved in and we started going to church. And he would watch us go to church. And then one day he said, "Hey, do you mind if I go to church with y'all one day?" I said, "Absolutely, you can go to church with us." We were actually going to what Welcome Hill was once, or it was Revival Baptist over there on Story Road. And Art Brady was the pastor, and so we were going there, and he started going, and so he realized that he needed to get saved. He realized that there was a purpose that God had for him, and he wanted to embrace that, so he got saved, and he got baptized. And I want to say, that little redheaded teenager, his life changed. I mean, it changed so much. Started going to church. He was witnessing to people. And one day he said, "Brother Justin," he says, "I think I found the one." Of course, we're talking about a span of like 8 to 10 years in between. And so I found the one. And they started dating, and then they got married. And then we got the phone call this past week. I jumped up off the couch. I was doing some therapy on my back with the heating pad, and I was actually studying a daily devotion. I got up off the couch like nothing ever happened to my back, and I said, "Christy, you will not believe the text I just got. I think somebody hacked his Facebook account." Because he contacted me through Messenger. He said, "Brother, I want you to know that my wife died in my arms last night." I said, "Wait, this has to be a joke. You know those phone calls you get that none of us want?" I said, no. I said, is this Alan Morgan? And then I had some other things I wanted to say. I said, this isn't funny if this account's been hacked. So I just kind of backed up and I just said, "Is this Alan Morgan?" He texted me back and said, "Yes." He said, "She actually died in my arms." He said, "I don't know what to do." He says, I'm lost for words. And if that wasn't bad enough, to know that they had his unborn child in her belly, just found out, just made post on Facebook of the little outfits they bought, the onesies and all. Sad, sad, sad. But you know, none of us know what a day may bring forth, Proverbs says. And whether we like it or not, change is coming. We will either be adjustable when it comes to change, or we will resist change. And listen, sometimes it just takes time to change, doesn't it? It takes time to change. So we know there's other friends and family that have passed recently. What about Brother Jim Pearson? Wasn't that a shock? Singer of Diplomats. Change is in his home this morning as he is in heaven. People in their jobs, I've heard stories lately where someone had got a new boss and has totally just changed the way of working at the workplace, and others are just getting harassed and bullied. All kinds of things have been happening to people, like they always have, but it just seems like here lately this has been what I've been hearing and what I've been feeling in my heart. Several family issues are going on out there that I've heard about and been told about. And now they're experiencing change. Change can be hard, but change can be good in some cases. Dealing with change this morning. Dealing with change. What's going on in your life that's difficult, fresh, or new? That you know that on the inside things will not be the same, and you must be pliable, but you're struggling with that. Those watching, I always like to talk to the camera at times. I've been so used to it for the past year. Those watching on Facebook, what has happened and transpired in your life where you've got to be able to be flexible. Because if you don't, it's just going to be a hard resist in your life. I want to say to all of us this morning, Facebook and in person, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing that comes into our life that isn't first filtered through His hands. God is able to sustain us through these times of changes. Whether it's been a trip to the cemetery, the loss of a job, arguing with a boss, or accepting his new leadership. Doesn't matter what it is. Change is coming, and God's able to secure us this morning. Dealing with change. I want to share with you three things about change. And I will say some of these things are just experiences I've gone through. Of course, we're using the Bible as our guide. But there's the definition of change. I looked up last night in Webster's dictionary the definition of change, and here's what it said. It said that change means to undergo transformation or to undergo transition. For an example, as winter changes into spring, and the spring changes into summer, and summer changes into fall. Each have their own distinct characteristics. Every one of them is important for a earth to be healthy. I particularly don't like winter. I love fall. I love spring. Normally, when it comes summertime and it's about 95 degrees, I complain about that. But there's a transformation with each season that comes. Winter and spring, summer and fall. They're always in transition into one thing or the other. I love the transformation that takes place in the butterfly. You've heard me say it time and time again. But I just love that because I believe that it illustrates the Christian life and change. It's actually called the metamorphosis. And it happens in at least three stages. This isn't a science study, so we're going to leave some things out. You may tell me something I don't know after the service. Number one, the transformation stage from going from a caterpillar into a butterfly, it's called metamorphosis. But the first stage is the caterpillar stage. In this stage, the caterpillar is crawling. And because of that, it's limited in ability. The second stage is the cocoon stage, and this is where it's caged. No ability. But the third stage is the butterfly stage. And the butterfly stage is the flying stage. In this stage, the butterfly that was once a caterpillar has amazing ability. What stage are you at this morning in your life? Are you in the caterpillar stage where you have limited ability, you feel like? Are you in the cocoon stage where you feel like you're trapped in your cage with no ability, no options, no outlets, no help? Or are you in the butterfly stage where the wind is beneath your wings spiritually and you're on the mountaintop? I believe that we can see that there are really these kind of stages in the Christian life. You've heard me tell the story of the caterpillar and the bluebird. The caterpillar was crawling and inching its way across the ground, and it looked up and said, "Man, I wish I was like that bluebird." And so day after day, inching its way along, goes the caterpillar. Looked up and seen the bluebird just fly to the branch and fly back off. Man, I wish I was like that bird. Until one day, something strange happened. It inched its way up the tree into a little crevice, balled itself up, and wished to die. And then this amazing cocoon started happening. It started to develop a white, a cotton-like substance where the actual caterpillar was inside. And during this stage, while it's while the caterpillar is inside the cocoon now, it's in total darkness. Cannot see the bluebird anymore. Cannot see anything anymore. It's going through a stage where it's dark and just cannot get out of the situation. Just cannot make sense of it all. And so eventually it starts to punch. It starts to push. That little caterpillar that once saw the bluebird, now in the cocoon, it starts to punch. It starts to push its way through. You see, there was something inside that caterpillar that would not let it die. It had the spirit of fight in it. It had these properties. It had this DNA on the inside that said, this is not it. This is not over. One day you will fly. And so one day it punched through that cocoon and a wing spanned out. And it got it through the other hole and stretched its arm out. And now there was two wings and it popped out and it was a butterfly. And it flew on that branch and the butterfly said, I never thought I could be like the bluebird. But I am. I can fly. Some of us this morning, we are in that cocoon stage where it's dark around us and things have happened in our life and decisions have been made and maybe some are experiencing consequences of those decisions and we're pushing and we're trying to make sense out of the chaos that we're in. We're trying to get out. But you see, there's something that took place in that cocoon that doesn't take place as a caterpillar or butterfly. It was the struggle that developed it. It was the struggle that developed the butterfly. Child of God, this morning you may be in that stage, and I want to say, don't give up on the struggle. Don't give up and don't throw the towel in. The fight. The Lord is with you and He wants to enable you to fly and He wants to be your victory. He wants to be your reward. He wants to be your gain. He can allow you to soar to new heights, but it's imperative to walk with Him and talk with Him as in Gethsemane, as He walked with the Father during His struggle. Because after the cross came the resurrection. You are here this morning in your struggle, but I want to say, if you're a child of God, there will be a resurrection. We trust in Him. We claim His name. We pray to Him. We go to God in prayer. We hang on when it don't make sense. We go to the cemetery. We lose our jobs. But we believe as a child of God that we can trust in Him and He will direct our steps this morning. Though it may not make sense. Job said, though He slay me, yet I will trust Him. That's what Job said. So this morning, there's the caterpillar illustration being transformed into the butterfly. Now, notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Because the Bible says that believers are changed as we look into God's Word from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Listen to this. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so just a brief summarization of that verse. The Bible tells us that as we look into God's mirror, we look into the pages of God's Word and we see His glory. He is the Creator God. And we read that through Genesis and the Old Testament and then the New Testament. There's the New Covenant and we see that He is holy and He is righteous. He deposited Himself in human form and was a humble person. He was the incarnate Son of God. And And he went to the cross and he bled and he died and he rose again on the third day. And so we are beholding his glory in his word. Everything we need to know about God that he wants us to know in Jesus is right here. And I'll be honest, Brother Allen, there's times when I open up God's word and I look at his glory, it's like a mirror. And I say, I haven't been doing that the right way. I'm not lining up with Jesus because I'm looking into this mirror and I see holiness. I see dedication. I see boldness and I see zeal. And there's times where I look into the pages of God's word, his mirror, and I don't see his reflection. I see mine. But you know, I want to be like him. I want to conform to the scriptures. I want to be like Jesus. And I want the things he wants me to have. And I don't want the things he don't want me to have. But you see, my flesh is not saved this morning. Neither is yours. And so there's a change that takes place in our Christian lives. Every time we open God's word, whether we feel like it, whether we feel like reading his word or not, whether we feel like we're being changed or not, there is a metamorphosis that takes place. Like that song says, don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. God is still working on me. But we're changed when we look into the mirror of his word from glory to glory, from one experience to the next, from one level of maturity to a greater level of maturity, to a higher in-depth relationship from glory to glory with the Lord, to a more in-depth relationship with him. He shows us more and more as we can handle more and more from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of God helps. He helps here. He's the one that that's indwelling us, that enables us when we say we can't conform. He's too holy. He's too righteous. The Holy Spirit says, well, it's not a law you live by. That law was fulfilled on the cross. It's merely a getting up and embracing your Christian calling, meaning salvation, knowing that you're saved. And it's not about performance necessarily. It's not about inheriting eternal life. You have that. It's about living it out. Get up. You failed. Get up. You've lost your job. Get up. You've been to the cemetery. Get up. I can strengthen you and enable you to be an overcomer. He says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we see that in Scripture that the believer is changed as we look into God's Word from glory to glory. Number one, this morning we see the definition of change, and it means to undergo transformation or to undergo transition. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the definition of change, but the different kinds of change. The different kinds of change. You know, God uses all circumstances, all kinds of circumstances and situations to usher in change into our lives. We know he uses the word of God, which is the mirror. We know he uses the Spirit of God, but I want to say this. God also uses what I like to call the good, the bad, and the ugly to create change in our life and maturity. The good, listen to this. There is good we encounter that creates change. And these are good changes. Number one, salvation is a good change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is an awesome, the best change ever. There is good change when God's in your life. He changes our destiny. We're now on our way to heaven. He changes our position. We are now children of God. He changes our life. We are now a new person. Our sins are gone. Our sins are gone. And so sometimes when there's change in our life, there is good change. But then there's what I like to call the bad we encounter. The bad. You remember the kids' book, the children's book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? Remember that? Some may have, some may have not. There's a book out, and it's been out since 1972, called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Children's book. And it was actually written after one of her children. She was inspired. Her kid's name was Alexander. And he had a very, very bad day. And so she started to pin down her thoughts, and that's how we have that children's book. In fact, it sold 4 million copies. Go Google it. It's there. Listen to this paragraph, this excerpt from the book. Alexander says, I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running. And I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Has anybody had those kind of days? It wasn't a good day you would classify. It was just a bad day, you know. It was a bad day. You went to crank the car didn't crank. You know, you went to swipe your debit card, it said there's no sufficient funds, and you just made a deposit. That kind of day. And so there's those kind of days. But even in those kind of days, the bad we encounter, if we adjust to it and keep a good attitude, God can form it and we can mature and change from it. God can use it to form us and we can mature from it if we keep a good attitude. But then there's the ugly, the good, the bad, the ugly is what I like to call that God can use. The ugly has to do with following the loved one to the cemetery to bury them. The loss of a loved one and having to adjust to change to the new normal. The loss of a job and that mortgage payment is in the mailbox. This is the ugly of life. The loss of a job, a house, or an automobile. You can't get to work. You did have a job and the bill, here comes the mailman. You know that one piece of mail you got is the mortgage payment due. The ugly. The loss of a job, a house, or automobile. A bad report from the doctor. Having a divided family. I call these things the ugly. There's the good, there's the bad, but then there's the ugly. But church, I want to say this morning. But even then, if we depend upon Christ, moment by moment, day by day, we will see Him work mightily and change us greatly. One more thing, and it's going to take just a few minutes. The definition of change, the different kinds of change, but then the dealings with change. How do we deal with change? How do you deal with your situation this morning? Change is challenging and can be life-altering. What are we to do? I say it this way, in one phrase, go to God's Word. Listen to this. You don't have to turn there. This is kind of going to be an individual Bible drill, but if you want to follow along, you can. I'm going to go kind of fast. Philippians 4:6. This is what we do with change when it comes. Philippians 4:6-7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do you do with your anxieties that follow change, your concerns that seem like they just follow change? We give them to the Lord and allow Him to worry about them, and we know He don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, those times of life, seasons of life where things are changing, go to God in prayer. You'll find there's a peace that passeth all understanding. You will tell yourself, and I know you could testify of this, I should not be peaceful right now, but I am. Should not be peaceful. Almost feels guilty to be peaceful. But church, listen. Some people worry when they're peaceful. They worry when they don't have peace, and they worry when they do have peace. But look, don't feel guilty if you have peace about something, even when everything is not going right. Because that's the promise God gave to His children, that He will guard our hearts and our minds. Psalm 138, verse 8, listen. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That's enough right there. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. He will complete the thing I'm concerned about. He will take care of the thing, the changes that are coming to my life, and the stress I feel, and all of these things, emotional roller coaster we may be on. God will complete it. So why worry about it? He says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Job 13, 15, I mentioned it a moment ago. I'll say it again. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain mine own ways before him. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Love this verse. This verse, we won't read it word for word, but it says that there are different seasons in life. There's different seasons in life. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, to be strong, God is with you. 2 Peter 2:9 says this, God is patient with us. And then Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy steps. God will do that. In Proverbs 3, in verse number 5, there's one key word there that makes the difference in our life. It's the word all. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. As we conclude the message this morning, talking about dealing with change, I ask you, ask those watching, whatever facet of life that you are encountering, are you trusting Him with all your heart? That means, like in the Old Testament, when the sacrifice would be laid upon the altar, that sacrifice was, it was laid upon the altar. It was received, but then it was laid upon the altar. And the next step was taking your hands off of it, because it didn't belong to you anymore. It was given for a sacrifice. And all through the Old Testament, we see people given sacrifices. And the Bible tells us in Romans 12 and verse number 1 to present our bodies a living sacrifice. The question is this morning, have we came to the Lord with our burden and left it there? Have we laid it on the altar and taken our hands off of it? It may take couple tries to achieve. It may take 1,000 tries. It may, and really it's something that happens pretty frequently during the day. You give it to the Lord. If it comes back, you give it to Him again. And it's a continual presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. So I ask you, is your all on the altar? Dealing with change, the definition, the different kinds, the dealings with change itself. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are, for what you do. Use the message for your honor and your glory, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, please come on the very first verse as we sing.